Next up on the agenda is the occupancy permit process. I would like to just state before we have everybody come up, who's going to come up, just to remember that this is a proposed ordinance, that the reason why it was put out as the way it was, this council for some time now has been trying to practice in a manner of transparency. That's why it was put out there specifically to have questions be asked, to get comments, to get feedback. It is not something, they've not even done a first reading on this. It was put out there for this very reason, to get input, to have questions come forward, so the ordinance that finally may be put together would be one with as much citizen input as possible. So with that being said, I would ask you to come to the microphone so we can get a name and then your questions or comments.
Hi, Michelle Pointer. I am representing the Central Missouri Board of Realtors tonight. I want to thank you all for allowing me to speak this evening regarding the proposed occupancy permit proposal. The Central Missouri Board of Realtors agree that something needs to be done with some of the properties in Marshall. We just don't feel this is the right course of action. I've had the privilege of helping buyers and sellers in Marshall for the past 35 years. The city's ability to go after nuisance houses already exists within the current ordinance, section 7-127. Since this ordinance that you are proposing is the one they passed in Moberly, I went to Moberly last Tuesday afternoon to visit with several of the realtors. Just because they have learned to deal with the issue doesn't mean they like it. One agent I talked to had to remove the shower head and the shower handle from the shower in order to have the proper ventilation, because they could not put the proper ventilation into the bathroom because they were 6-inch stucco walls. And the code enforcer said you have to have a ventilation in this bathroom. So they had to remove the bathroom in the basement in order to get the house to pass the code. An FHA appraiser comes in, they're going to make you remove that entire bathroom. Just because you've removed the handle and the shower, they're going to make you remove the whole thing. Nothing, according to this ordinance is going to be grandfathered in. If you sell your home, repairs will have to be made. We have finally gotten our sellers and buyers used to third-party inspections. The buyers pay $450 for this when they are purchasing a home. Sometimes the seller will do the work if some repairs are required. Other times they won't. At that point, it's up to the buyer to say, yes, I'm going to buy this house, or no, I'm not going to buy this house. I can see the seller or buyer coming in and saying, well, I'm not going to pay $450 for this third-party inspection because the city's going to come in and inspect this. A third-party inspector helps take the burden and liability off the realtors when a buyer is purchasing a house. I'm wondering, is the city willing to absorb that liability when something goes wrong with the house after it sells? The inspector then comes in with the list. All this has to be done before you can sell the house. The seller then raises the price of the house to cover the cost of the expenses. Then the house doesn't appraise. Or the price is now too high for the buyer to qualify for the loan, so they've lost the sale of the house. We don't have enough homes on the market to meet the buyer's demand as it is. If this ordinance passes, we're going to continue to push buyers to Sedalia, where homes are more affordable, where there are more jobs, and where 6 new businesses are coming in next year, according to the realtor that Beverly Larson and I talked to last Tuesday. I'm going to give you this list of concerns that the realtors have. And this by no means covers them all, but before you decide that you are in favor of this proposal, please take this list that I got from the Moberly Realtors, take it home, look at your house, how many repairs would you have to make in order to get your house ready to sell? Then I want you to stop and I want you to think about that seller that has fallen on hard times and doesn't have any extra equity in their house to make the repairs that are needed. Put yourself in their place. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you.
just wanted to check there.
So.
Anybody else? Yes, sir.
I'll keep this brief because I know everybody's been standing up for a long time. So my name is Cody Painter. I live on 417 East High Street. I just moved to Marshall here in March. Myself, my own political views, I'm more of a libertarian than anything. So for me, this argument against this proposed draft is more of on principle than an economic, which, by the way, that was a very good presentation, very on point. So I am very against, and I don't, like I said, I'm not speaking on behalf of everybody, just myself, what I consider to be government overreach, no matter what size of the government, the municipality, all the way up to the federal level. So I guess my question would be more for the gentleman at the end here. In the proposed draft, a scenario that I'm thinking of, and like I said, this is slightly exaggerated, I know. I'm not doing this for effect. I'm just trying to make it simple. If an ordnance officer were to drive by my house and see maybe my motorcycle parked on the sidewalk in front of my house, which ain't, it's not a city sidewalk, it's an entrance to my driveway, is that against city ordinance?
If his motorcycle is parked
on his own sidewalk, not the public sidewalk.
Not the public sidewalk, my sidewalk. Would that be against city ordinance?
If it's not a city sidewalk, then no.
So I think that for me, that would just be my discussion, the rights I have to my private property. And what I would, like I said, I'm not a lawyer, so I'm just stating, asking questions how I interpreted what I read on the draft. Would there be limitations in place to how far government officials can address my own private property in terms of ordinances? Short of, I understand, lawn care, which I know is a city ordinance, and maintaining of driveways and overall appearance of the house, I understand those. But well, I guess what is the limit that we go to here?
Mike?
No, Cody, actually the ordinance is really going to do things for inspections on an annual basis, no less than once a year. So your house is, you own it?
Yes.
So he owns his house, and so if we're driving by and see anything that might be in violation, or we think it's in violation, not going to just stop and say, get your motorcycle off the sidewalk.
Yes.
And so if it's not due for inspection, then that won't happen unless you sell it.
I understand.
So you're not going to be subject to inspections unless you sell it. So unless you have tall weeds or
somebody calls in, correct?
A complaint?
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody complains about something like, you know, windows are broke out of your house.
Yeah.
You know, that might be another issue. But
and I think that was just a concern that I had talking with other people who live here in town was, you know, everybody kind of got a little freaked out by what seemed like extreme overreach on the part of the city. You know, kind of, whatever I decide to do with my property is my decision, as long as I'm not hurting anybody or destroying the property value of those around me.
Right.
I understand that. Right. So I would like to suggest that, talking with a lot of people that I know, my neighbors and friends and family here, that maybe, I know this is just a draft, but maybe if we could push it more towards what we already have at the state level or, you know, most major cities, if we have a problem with rental properties, as it were, which I know I've been around this town a long time, I understand that is an issue with rental properties. That maybe this ordinance more focus in that direction, mm-hmm, as opposed to private homeowners. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So as it reads right now, as people are interpreting it, like I said, not everybody has a law degree, so people are just interpreting it as they can. It is looking as though everybody here that owns property is subject to search and fines at will, as it were.
Yes.
That's how it's worded. I'm not saying it would happen. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, you understand, when you get a lot of people together and they discuss this thing, that is a general fear that people have, is government overreach. And that is what I am strongly against, like I said, on all levels. So I would like to see this draft move more in a direction of a very specific issue. And I know that we have some of this town, I understand that, we do. But whenever we make an all-encompassing rule, essentially what feels like a punishment for the whole town, based on the actions of a few, it really kind of seeds dissent, you know? It makes people really wary about what we had to do next, or what we can't do anymore. So that's just what I wanted to bring up. Like I said, it's more of an argument on principle as opposed to her economic standpoint. Thank you all for your time.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
I'm Wayne Hyman. I'm on address of the mayor and the council. I live outside of town. And I own 7 townhouses out there by the hospital. I own a triplex in the Westport addition. And I own 2 townhouses behind the Y. They are all kept up good. The rental company's taking care of them. And I think that they don't need to be inspected every year. You know, if you went here for 3 years, property that's really kept up good. And then the question comes to me, do I need to be investing in Marshall? Thank you.
Becky McRoberts, 404 East Mission. I'm just going to add a few things to what Michelle said, and you've got the talking points there. Everybody applauds the effort to clean up. We know that needs to be done. This ordinance is overkill. It's like bringing the whole army if you've got one person hiding in the bushes somewhere. This goes over and above what I have to do as an FHA, USDA appraiser. FHA, USDA, and VA used to mandate so many people in a bedroom per square foot, and if there was a hole in the sheetrock, I had to report that. I still report all of that, but they consider that cosmetic. They also dropped their requirement, unless you're building a house with a direct loan from USDA, then they might come in and do that measurement on the bedroom. This ordinance is going back and is picking up some things that the federal government doesn't even do for a federal loan anymore. Because they found it too invasive and impossible to enforce. So let's beef up. We've got good ordinances on the books. We have one person inspecting, and he does a good job, but there's one of him. So yes, if we need to make some changes, let's beef up what we have, get Mike some assistance, and let's make it make sense. But I think this is overreach and it's overkill. And you know, you go to you're measuring inches on the slats on a handrail. I don't have to do that anymore. Used to have to do that. Like I said, FHA, VA, USDA dropped it because it was unenforceable. And it meant that they weren't making loans. Same way with egress windows on the second floor. So, you know, let's use common sense. Thank you.
I'm Robert Ashford. I live on the second ward on Keg Street. I'm the owner of Ashford Agency. My family's been selling real estate here for 52 years. I've been the owner of Ashford Agency for the last 30 years. Tonight I want to share some concerns that I have about this ordinance. I also have copies of the ordinance as well as the current ordinance. I'm not going to go line by line, so don't worry about that. Our association has already done that for you, though. And we're going to give you copies of that where it is already in our ordinances. So you have that. I've read them. I've read the new one more than once. And I want to share many of the concerns that have already been said here tonight. But there's one concern that's not in here. He kind of touched on it a little bit, but it's our private property rights. Having the distinct pleasure of selling the American dream for the last 32 years, I can tell you that no two dreams are the same. I've been in and out of probably most of the homes in Marshall. No two people live the same. And that's great, because it gives us diversity, culture, and allows our city to grow, prosper. I can tell you, this document, the private property rights are the core of that American dream, and this document greatly erodes that. So I would ask that you really consider the information that we're going to give you as our association and the input that we have, and look at that. I'm going to be visiting with you one-on-one. I know you're excited about that. I can tell, Dewey.
So, you know where to find me.
So I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
I'm Scott Forsher. I've got a few rental houses in town, and I maintain my homes. I want to give the people that rent from me the best place they can live for what they can afford. And I put money in it, and then go in, and they tore stuff up. So, you know, when you want us to get inspected every year, it's just an added cost to us that we don't need to be burdened with. So, just enforce the ordinance that is in place, and I think we can make this work.
Anybody else?
I'm Dave Riley. I live over on Odell Street. I'm not sure which ward that's in because I just recently moved. I think I'm in Danny in your ward, I believe.
Been anyway, on the side of the street here.
Well, I'm on the east side of the street.
You're in my ward.
Okay. So I need to talk to you then. So to Robert, to your point, the analysis that you've done, I haven't had time to do that, but it seemed to me that there was a fair amount of redundancy in here. So I don't know what you found in terms of the percentage of things that are already in the existing code that are covered. And if we take those redundancies out, then what's really left in the code here is what we need to be asking ourselves, whether that's what we want to have enforced or put into an ordinance. There are some things that I read that seem to be contradictory to some of the existing code, but I didn't go look specifically, Mike. There was one on the electrical code. It was talking about the distribution of electrical outlets in a room. And from what I recall, what's in here doesn't match what's in the adopted electrical code. The electrical code that we've adopted requires more than what's in here, actually, if I remember correctly. But that may be for new construction, and I'm confusing it with existing construction. So that's a possibility. I noticed on the page where you're talking about schedule of fees, there's a sentence here that says the above permit fees shall be tendered with application for first issuance of a permit, and thereafter on an annual basis or change of occupancy. Now that contradicts an earlier statement that says it only occurs on the change of occupancy. If I read that statement as it says right there, everybody's going to have to pay an annual fee. The wording is very straightforward there. Now, maybe that's an issue that nobody caught up to this point, but those are the kinds of things that we need to look at. The final thing that I would ask is what analysis has been done to undertake the understanding of how much additional labor this ordinance will require of the city? Mm-hmm. How much additional work is this man going to have to do? What's the actual monthly turnover of rentals? Mm-hmm. Mike, you work hard as I understand it. How are you going to keep up with the actual turnover?
That's what I understand.
Yeah. Well, okay. That's
what I've been told.
You don't work hard enough?
That's what they tell me.
Oh, well, maybe you need to get a new boss. Or retire, find something else to do. But the question is what is the additional expense on the city? At the federal government level, when we pass legislation, analysis has to be done to determine whether this adds additional costs to the community and whether it adds additional costs to the government. Mm-hmm. I understand, if I understand this correctly, that has not been done yet. Mm-hmm. The analysis that Robert was talking about hasn't been done yet to see whether this is consistent with existing code or not. And these are the kinds of analyses that should be done before we even propose these things so that we have the ability to answer the questions of the citizens that come in to ask questions like this. So my question, I guess, is did we do this analysis? I believe the answer is no. We didn't know for sure how redundant it was with the existing code. Robert's going to give you something on that. As far as I can tell, we haven't done any financial analysis to see what the increase in cost is to the city. Anytime you increase personnel costs, that's forever. On a government project, that's forever, and it never goes down. So buying equipment, buying hardware, buying software, buying telecom, those all go down over time according to Moore's Law or Metcalf's Law. But personnel costs never go away. Mm-hmm. So once you've got them, you've got them. Mm-hmm. And Mike needs help, and probably more than one, if he's going to be able to keep up with all this. And so we haven't given any thought to how much that's going to cost us. Mm-hmm. And that's just financial cost, economic cost, not just the cost to our civil liberties and our property rights. So those are things that, as I sit here listening to all of this, that have occurred to me, and I would ask you to take those things into consideration, because if we're going to be a city that's a model for governance, of citizens participating in governance, then let's do it right. Let's not just cut and paste from another city because somebody else did it. Let's actually analyze that and determine what is the impact on our actual city and on our citizens, and whether it really solves the problem, or are we just trying to address a cosmetic problem when we've got more fundamental problems such as the economic engines that drive the economy of our city. Those are the things that are more important to me than whether somebody mowed their lawn or not. So, thank you.
Hi, I'm Kathy Van Buskirk, and I own property in Marshall. And I have a lot of stuff I need to do to my house. I wanted to put a new metal roof on it a couple of years ago, but they told me I couldn't unless I take off the asbestos shingles that are on there, which is one layer. And if I take that off, then I have to put sheeting on and add the cheapest shingles that I could buy. Was going to cost me $37,172 just for the roof. If I put the metal roof over the top of what I already have, which the government tells me is the way to go, don't tear that stuff up, leave it and cover it, then I could do it for $17,000. Mm. I need some new windows. Mm. I need a whole bunch of stuff. I don't have any money. I live on Social Security, honey. Now what? I mean, in a perfect world, everybody would like to have their house fixed up. Mm-hmm. I love it. Mm-hmm. But I can't afford it. Now what? Okay, all these houses that are in town, we got some slummy ones that are in need out, and you always will have. But say we tear them all down. Now where do these people live? Under a bridge? Or I can't afford to do this and you're going to charge me. Well, don't charge too much, sugar. You won't lose too much because I don't have the money. Now what do you do? How do you fix it? That's what I don't understand. I don't want to, hell, I'd like to live in a mansion, but I don't. So if anybody has any ideas, tell me.
My name's Tyler Poulsett. I live over on 1508 West K Street. I have a question first that I would like clarification on before I give a response to it. There's a part in there that says how many occupants can live in a house or a dwelling. What's the exact number on that? Does anybody know?
The proposed ordinance says one family.
One family, okay. So in my case, I went and served in the Navy for 7 years, and when I got out, I went to live with my dad for about a month and a half. Till I could get, you know, you go look at an apartment and you want to put down about a month or so before you can move in. So if somebody's kids go to the military and they come home after serving our country, these parents are in violation of keeping their kids in the house, because that's outside of family, because maybe they got married and had a wife and a kid, so that's extra in the house. Is that a thing? Or what if you have some grandparents whose kids die in a car accident, they take on their grandkids, is that a thing? Is that the thing where they're outside of the violation of people that can come into their house because they're taking care of extended family? That's my question that I have about the occupancy side of it. If we start putting things where kids and family can't come stay, Marshall just becomes like an unfriendly place to stay, and maybe people may move elsewhere instead of come and make this a family environment where, you know, people want to stay here. That's just my question.
Shelley O'Brien, I work for Simply Realty. I have a few concerns with the proposed ordinance. A lot of them that everybody else has already pointed out. But one of them is in section 10 of this ordinance. It says any person violating the charge occupancy without permit provision of the ordinance may be fined a maximum of $200, and a separate offense shall be deemed committed on each day during or days after. If people already can't afford to fix their homes, how are they going to pay a violation? I think we already have that going on, that people can't keep up with their homes, and I know there's several of them because my husband works on them. And you're putting more burden on the people because they don't have the money to fix them. Yes, they're in people's backyards. It's everywhere. But when you don't have the money, like Miss Kathy said, you where's it going to come from? Also, where's the burden of proof coming from of when the occupancy is changed? Who's going to report that? Is it going to be us as realtors? Is it going to be the title company? Who's going to be the person to let you guys know when this occupancy has changed? You know, we have to report to some people, you know, when utilities change. Shouldn't be the burden of the utility company to let you know when occupancy changes.
Yeah.
Overcrowding, like Mr. Polson pointed out. We sell a lot of government houses or government loans, USDA, FHA, VA. Some of these people can't afford more, and when you're regulating how many people they can put in that house, they want the American dream too. They want to be able to own that home. But you're telling them they can't have two kids in this bedroom because it's too small. A lot of us grew up with multiple siblings in the same bedroom because our parents couldn't afford a house more than the square footage that was allotted. So I really think that you guys need to rethink a lot of these proposed regulations and dissolve this proposed ordinance.
I'm representing Hamilton Brothers. We have property in this town. A lot of things have already been said. I think we have an opportunity here. Moberly's had this ordinance for 20 years, so let's look and see what's happened to Moberly. Actually, I'll just give this to you first. I found most of this information on citydata.com. Oh, sorry. Make sure you take a bag. Hamilton Brothers?
Okay.
I'm not going to cover all of it. But the interesting thing is, our towns are about the same size. Marshall has 13,000. Moberly has 13,800. Each town has about 5,500 homes. In Marshall, there are about 2,000 occupied rentals. Moberly has about 1,600. As I said, Moberly has had this for 21 years. They have two building inspectors. It's the differences that I find really telling. Moberly has 1,100 vacant homes. We have 500. They have double the vacant homes that we have. Their median home value is 25% lower than ours. And what is Moberly working on right now? They are rewriting their nuisance property ordinance. They're adopting an ordinance to deal with begging. They're adopting an ordinance to deal with people living in tents. And they're budgeting $250,000 to get rid of 56 properties. They think it's $5,000 to tear down each house. The good news is the property owner can keep that property for $500. So the taxpayers are going to pay $4,500 to tear down each property. I think the council has good intentions. But I feel very strongly that this one won't work. I think you need to take the ordinance that's in place and do what our mayor has noted. The enforcer hasn't been in the job for 5 to 10 years. I'm not sure the time frame. We need to hire that person. We need to identify the loopholes in the existing ordinance, and we need to fix those. This ordinance is not necessary.
Hello, my name's Keith Banty. I live at 730 North Allen. I'm a current renter right now. I'm looking to buy a home. I don't know if Marshall's going to make a fit for me if this goes through. First off, I have two children, a wife, two dogs, and a cat. My house, I live in a small two-bedroom because that's what I can afford. I have to live off what my means are unless you're going to donate money too. How long is it going to last? Not long at all. My utilities, yeah, they're high. That's not my fault. It's probably the way the house is built. Now, I was adopted, one of the first kids, white children in Marshall, to be adopted by a single African-American mother here in Marshall. I was adopted in 1996. Me and my four brothers and sisters. My mom adopted seven children here in Marshall. Had 14 foster children, and not one time did the state of Missouri think there was too many kids in her house because they kept bringing them, knocking at the door at 2 in the morning, dropping more kids off. Mm-hmm. They didn't care. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my mom got $300 a child. We were sleeping five to a bedroom. Mm-hmm. They didn't care. The city wasn't there. You all didn't care then. Mm-hmm. Why is it such a big deal now? We ate. We went to school. Mm-hmm. We took baths. We didn't have a lot of. We didn't have money. We didn't go out to McDonald's. McDonald's didn't get our money. Mm-hmm. We had $1,250 utility bills from the city of from the city utilities, which isn't your all's problem. Okay? My grandmother had to move in with us, another person. Mm-hmm. Why? Because my mom was a single mother. My grandmother had to help feed and cook for us. The lady I'm mentioning, Mike Morgan, knows her pretty well because he has came by. We have got letters. He does do his job. Okay? Ina Banty. I know you've heard the name. She has come in. She's adopted kids. Right now, she has homeless children living with her right now that she met in Sedalia. She doesn't even know them. Why? Because she can't say no. Her heart doesn't let her say no. Mm-hmm. So, before we go through and pass this ordinance, think of the 14 children that can go home at any time. Me, my wife, my kids, we didn't have a place to go for 3 months. Mm-hmm. Where did we sleep? In the living room at my mom's house. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, why it's all fine and dandy to the people that have the money to sit back and be able to do it. Clyde Williams knows my mom pretty well. My mom has had to go to churches to ask for utility money because she could not afford her utilities. We get letters because we have broken windows. Get 14 kids in a house and see if you don't have a problem. I'm being serious. Can you afford a $200 window once a month? I don't have $200 extra right now. But I do it. I go to work. I try to stay away from loan companies, but it's impossible. Why? Because we make, what, $30,000 a year? We live in Marshall. We shop at Walmart, one grocery store, Aldi's. Yes, I'm a firm believer, buy at Aldi's. Because I don't give Walmart my money. Go through self-checkout. They can't even pay a cashier. What is Walmart doing? We need more grocery stores, which of course we're not here for that. But don't tell me what I can and can't have in my family because some of the closest families are the ones that have to live 15 to a house. I'm eating, I'm eating. I have 15 children, a single mother, one's been incarcerated for child support. So don't sit here and say overcrowding is an issue. We can do it, everybody else can do it, they just have to have the will to want to do it. So don't tell us how to live. That's all I have to say. Thanks.
My rental properties are in pretty good shape. The house I live in needs work done on. And it's because I simply can't afford to pay for it. Like the last one we did was the kitchen. They wanted $11,000 to tear out the kitchen. Mm-hmm. I said, I can tear it out. I can't put it back together. So they did that for us. They let us tear it out and they came and put it back together. I can't do that on every single room because then the truck breaks down or the car breaks down, you know, things happen. This house, I moved into it when I was 13 years old. We had 8 people in that house, 1 bathroom. We had 1 TV and 1 phone, okay? It did fine for us, you know, and we've made repairs as we've gone along and taken care of what we had to. We still need work to do on it. But it costs money. Give Mike extra help to enforce the laws we've got. to this. Don't add more to it. Because it just don't work.
Well, I'll make a comment. Thank you for everybody for all your comments were fantastic. One thing that I'll mention based off the number of phone calls I got today from concerned citizens, at its core, when we talked about this 4 or 5 months ago, it was to take care of a problem of landlords renting out with no electricity, no water, vermin in the house. At the core, we thought it was a solid idea. The current ordinance as written, I couldn't support it. I couldn't support it even close to what it has today versus what the core idea is. And even the core idea, we should have a work session, we should talk through it, understand all the issues, but taking something to a gentleman's point of directly from Overly and trying to pass something here, I would not be in favor of it at all, 100%.
I'll say the same thing, Kurt, with phone calls I've had this week and conversations I've had. I don't support it the way it's written. It's got to be completely changed if we even keep it or even think about it from here on.
I'm glad for your all's input. And I know we'll be meeting David, and some of them are meeting with the realtors this Thursday. That meeting is already set up. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take some input from the realtors, from the property owners. And, you know, we have put in the budget for this year. Kirk and I put in for an additional employee for Mike in that department. So, you know, this is a very beginning of what we need to do. I'm not in favor of what we have here either, but we're at the starting point, and we're just trying to address some issues. So thank you for all your all's input, and from this point on, we'll be trying to work with everybody involved.
I think I talked to about 30% of you in here in the last 2 or 3 weeks, but I am thoroughly against what is written here. And I've told you that, and I know this will never fly.
I guess just one thing. Yeah, come here.
So who printed this or who came up with this? Yes. If everybody's against it, I mean, I think that's what we all
want. I think, and I'll respond, there's good intent here, and the intent is to, you know, our community, you know, we have some properties that are blighted. We have some properties that are not taken care of. And the intent is to put some enforcement, some meat into that so we can, you know, get those properties cleaned up. Now, this is probably too restrictive. I think it's obvious from all your comments it is. And that's where we need to find a good line is where, you know, where can we get that enforcement and get that ordinance that does help us to clean up the community. Because that's what it's all about. It's got good intent. And I thank each and every one of you for coming tonight. And if you have some thoughts and ideas, please share them.
So can we figure out where it came from or no?
It's Moberly's.
Yeah. We brought it here. Who brought it to the end?
A lot of times these ordinances, whenever we have an issue, we will go out and find in other cities, and that will be the starting point. So that's what usually happens. Instead of us trying to sit down and draft a brand new ordinance from scratch and basically reinvent the wheel, we will go out and try to find an ordinance from a city, and that's the starting point. So that's what this was. It wasn't something we went out and said, hey, Moberly looks great, let's do that. It wasn't that way. It was a starting point. So
right, but
that's all that it is.
It's been said tonight that Marshall has blighted properties, et cetera, et cetera. You don't sit there and try to apply a cure to something that's not already affected. You take care of the thing that has the problem. Mm-hmm. This ordinance, the way that I read it online, and I've read pretty thoroughly, it's basically affecting every single homeowner, renter, everybody in Marshall. It's not taking care of the problem when Mike is going out inspecting 20 houses that there's not a single problem with, when there's 15 or 20 houses on the other side of town that need immediate attention.
Yeah, and that's what we need to do, is take the things out of this ordinance or start over and address the issue. Take the things out in here that aren't going to work.
I think most of the problems are...
The family thing.
My daughter, her husband, will beat her up. She says, "Mom, can I come home with my kids?" "No, you stay there, let's go."
Can't afford $200 a day.
I can name you many families right now that are living three generations in a household, four generations in a household. Where's the cutoff on how far the family can stay?
I was always told you can always go home to mom. And that's exactly what I live by, and y'all aren't going to tell me otherwise.
I was just going to say, I think most of the problem are with the economically depressed people that can't even afford a storage place. And we know that, and in the end, I don't know what can be done about that. Like a landlord, I'm a landlord, and I don't mind someone coming to me. I just bought a new property, and my intention is to turn it around. It's a lot of rental units, and I want to make it a nice place for my son and I to own for Marshall. But calling me in wouldn't bother me at all as a landlord to say, "Paul, can you get this stuff done?" But a lot of the people actually own their own trailers, and they'll make the mess as the best I can do because they don't have storage money, but it's stuff they want to keep. I'll tell them, "Guys, can you get that around to the back so it doesn't show as much?" And things like that. But I wouldn't know of any other way to force most of these people that are causing these messes to force them to clean it up. I don't know, because they already don't have the money. And I think we're putting everybody else in with everything because we're going after them. And even as a landlord, I don't mind you coming after me and saying to me, but if we do it in a courteous way initially, call landlords in and say, "Is there any way you can make your tenant clean that place up? And if you can't have the landlord, can you help him clean it up?" Do something like that, because that's what I would do. So I don't know what the solution is to the poor. That's the one I don't know.
I would suggest, in response to your question here about what is the solution, the solution is to power up the economic engine for the county.
Absolutely. I'm game for that.
So instead of flogging people who can't afford to pay for some kind of ordinance like this, what we need to be focused on is increasing the rate of pay, the number of jobs. We don't have an economic engine right now that supports what you want to accomplish in the way of a beautiful city. We've got blighted areas. Why do we have that? Because they're not able to get a job that pays well enough to do any better.
I hope that the city council understands that us that live here, we understand that we are well above the national average for people that live below the poverty line. And for you all to have, I know it's just a draft, but this looks like an attack on poor people. Am I just wrong?
And you know, I've been quiet and I'll speak up here. That's not our intent. And quite honestly, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Quite honestly, I think this is a situation where the horse got out of the barn before we were ready to really analyze the horse. And I regret that personally. I can't speak for everyone, but I know my colleagues up here. And this was not the intent that I don't think anyone on the council had. And that's our fault. I own that. But, you know, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus. You know, in good faith, this was brought to us, and we just really wasn't ready for it to be even seen. We needed to have more discussion and all, because
we're all invited here. I'm glad y'all
and,
that.
And
the only thing,
as the mayor said,
a lot of people was,
keep believing
you. You went about it the wrong way by even proposing this draft.
Transparency. You wanted citizen engagement. You've got it.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Yes.
That's a good thing.
Good use.
I just one question. I feel like it's been asked over and over and not answered. We would like to know who has proposed the ordinance. Are you as a council as a whole proposing the ordinance, or is it being proposed by one person? Because everyone up here, I think, is saying they don't support it. So who is proposing?
Let me say this, and I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus like I just said, but we discuss what's best for Marshall, what our community tells us. One of the things that a lot of us were elected on was clean up Marshall. Now, how do you do it? Do you do it and piss everybody off and do it the wrong way, or do you... We try to do it the right way. And I think up to this point,
we had done a pretty good job, but...
I do want to say I think the intent of the council was good.
Yes.
And I commend you for that.
Yep.
I think we've had a lot of good progress in the city over the last few years, and I think, you know, we're starting to see some light. But I think this is just another layer of bureaucratic red tape that's going to stifle that growth. And it's not going to help the city. And it's, and it, the intent, while being good, the ramifications, mm-hmm. the realization of it, is not.
You know, we all learn by our mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. And I've certainly learned to ask more questions. Mm-hmm. Waiting, don't push something out mm-hmm. until you're sure it's a good product and a good ordinance in this case. So, I apologize for this even happening.
To your point, Cody, you know, you mentioned this is a strike against the poor. In fact, we were trying to protect the underprivileged by not allowing them to have to put up with that. And it backfired. There's no doubt. We blew it at the same time, but know this, the council, at least myself, would not support anything like this or single ordinance or single residence.
I appreciate you.
I think we have an issue with some landlords, not everybody, mm-hmm. by any means. And I would hope the landlords would, you know, not want to rent out something that doesn't have electricity or water or toilets. And that's what we were trying to accomplish. And I think we can do that in a much better way moving forward.
For sure. To clarify, there's no one up there in support of the way it's written, correct?
I would not.
I'm not in its present form.
Right. Well, Mike is really good about calling and saying, hey, there's a problem, you know, need to deal with this. So I feel like if he had, when he gets help, I think it's going to be okay. Because, you know, he does a great job.
How much do you pay these people?
Believe it or not, Ron, they work for cheap.
We're all welcome. We know Mike works hard.
One last comment. Moving forward in your deliberations, it may be useful to ask yourself, if given the current set of codes that we've established in the city, which includes nuisance and it includes all the building codes, if the question to ask is, can we accomplish the goal of addressing the slumlords with the current legislation that we have? And if the answer is yes, then it's a matter of enforcement. If the answer is no, then the question is what change or what addition do we have to make to that in order to be able to accomplish that goal? And I think that would be a reasonable, deliberative approach moving forward. And you know, transparency, deliberation, governments are deliberative because of the unintended consequences. You've got to think about all the angles, and yet sometimes something gets through. So I don't fault you for any of that. But as we move forward, you've got citizen engagement, and so you might as well take advantage of it. And, mm-hmm. and the engagement includes things like, can we enforce it with the current codes? If we have to move forward, how do we define family? Well, the nuclear family's never been the dominant family in the United States. It was only 38% at its highest back in the 1950s. It's never been mom and dad, 2.76 kids. It's always been extended families of all kinds. So if we move forward with defining what is a family, then we need to take into consideration how the census defines that. And I'm not sure that it even needs to be in it. But.
You know, the definition of this address to Fargo, to me, everything that he said was family.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I think any common person would feel that way.
You know, I just one other comment. One other comment. You know, despite our intentions with these ordinances, we have to think about, you know, future administration and how that ordinance is perceived and enforced down the road when that maybe we're not here and other people are administering that ordinance. So that's, we have to keep that in mind as well.
Mr. Asher.
I want to put in there, now I'm not up on this all that great, but I'll talk to Jill a little bit. And I know you're going hopefully to get this information. And at the time they put it in there, we were pretty close economically, the growth-wise, and they're like, they're 25% behind us now. I think if Jill's figures was right. Okay. So I just want to tell you, It's not a good thing.
But the realtors are hoping to be able, we are going to meet with the council and the city administrator and Mr. Morgan and the mayor, and we are hoping to be able to help with this any way we can to help make it a better thing for everybody in the community. So that's our goal.
Bottom line is we all want the same thing.
Exactly.
You've been very passionate tonight. Appreciate that. And if we work together, we can make it right.
Thank you all. Anyone here for the golf cart ordinance?
I like it though.
Please.
You had just like $1. Last Sunday I was at the Dollar General store waiting in line. Some young man came up behind me, very, very talkative. And the gist of what his comments were is, when my kids get out of school, I'm leaving this town because of personal property taxes and because of the high utility bills. And he surprised me, he was going to move to Higginsville. And I couldn't tell you who he was, but it just struck me.
Thank you. Discussion of the golf cart ordinance?